This next slide is a little precursor of what's coming up later on in today's teaching. Because no matter how you dress up a pig, it's still a pig underneath. Amen? Well, we're continuing our study through the book of Proverbs today, and we're in chapter 11. Chapter 11 of Proverbs. If you've got your Bible, you can start making your way there. Proverbs chapter 11. And as I mentioned last time, because of the nature of these Proverbs being these short, compact bits of wisdom and truth, which are often self-contained within a single verse, we're going to look at the Proverbs in a given chapter grouped by common topics. And the topical grouping of Proverbs for chapter 11 are like this. And again, the invitation is always open, you guys. For those of you who would like a copy of this list, go ahead and send me an email or put a message on our Facebook page or something else like that, and I'll get that to you. But the Proverbs this week fall into the following categories: blessings of righteousness, both to yourself and to others, two kinds of treasure, generosity, honesty, humility and pride, the mouth, guidance, agreements and promises, and discretion. So that's what is coming up for us. Well, let's begin in the first verse of Proverbs 11. And before we get into the blessings of righteousness, I want to review the explanation of these terms. The word righteous is used in different ways in the Bible and in different ways even in common speech. In common speech, for example, we might refer to something as righteous and mean it's extremely awesome. That was a righteous wave, dude. We might also refer to a person as righteous and mean that that person is a self-impressed, stuck-up prude. If someone calls you righteous in that way, it's definitely not a compliment. The term righteous, as used in these Proverbs, is a very high compliment. Righteous refers to a person who is seeking to please God with their life, seeking to do the right thing, is pursuing wisdom rather than folly as a general course in their life. A person who loves God and His Word and is seeking to follow and obey it. The term righteous is not being used in Proverbs here in a strict theological way, meaning someone who is perfect and sinless. Instead, it's used to refer to the general tenor of a person's life. Wicked, in contrast to righteous, refers to a person who is living a deliberately rebellious life against God and His commandments. Righteous and wicked are the polar opposites of one another in the book of Proverbs. Being righteous blesses yourself is the first group of Proverbs that we want to look at. One of the questions that people often ask before doing something is, well, what's in it for me? What benefit is there for me in this thing if I do it? Well, that question is answered in these Proverbs for living a good and righteous life. There is great benefit to you for being righteous. Verse 3 is the first proverb that is in this group that we'll look at. It says, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them." A person's integrity will guide and direct their life, helping them make decisions and choices. A person of integrity, of pure motive, of good intentions, has a moral compass for their life that guides them. On the other hand, a person of crooked character, whose motive is treachery and underhandedness, will eventually destroy themselves, it tells us here. This person's life compass has a very bent and faulty needle that misleads them at every turn. A lasting life cannot be built on wickedness. We don't have time today to look in detail at all of these proverbs in this particular set, but as we read them, I want you to note the contrast here between the righteous and the wicked and the impact that their behavior has on their own life. Because that's what Solomon will do. He'll contrast these in these proverbs. The righteous bring blessing upon themselves, while the wicked bring trouble and difficulty upon themselves. So, verse 5. The righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight, but the wicked falls by his own wickedness. 6. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the treacherous are taken captive by their lust. 8. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and the wicked walks into it instead. 17. A man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. 19. Whoever is steadfast in righteousness will live, but he who pursues evil will die. That's a very powerful one, isn't it? 21. Be assured, an evil person will not go unpunished, but the offspring of the righteous will be delivered. 23. The desire of the righteous ends only in good, the expectation of the wicked in wrath. 27. Whoever diligently seeks good seeks favor, but evil comes to him who searches for it. 31. If the righteous is repaid on earth, how much more the wicked and the sinner? I want to look now at how righteousness is a blessing to others, not just to us personally, but to others. And that's in verse 10 and 11. Verse 10 says, "When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there are shouts of gladness." 11, "By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is overthrown." Here's the bottom line of what's being said in verse 10 and 11. No one really likes the wicked. Nobody likes the wicked. When they're gone, everyone is happy. They are a blight on the world. Young men in particular should take note of this, because it's something that young men, myself when I was a young man, I'm included in this too, we struggle with this. When you're running around with your friends, behaving badly, breaking the law, causing trouble, acting like gangsters, you think you're really cool. But here's the truth. You're not cool. You're not cool. No one likes people like that. Take that to heart, young men. No one likes a punk. No one likes a gangster. No one likes jerks. No one likes people who are breaking the law and bullying people all of the time. The righteous, on the other hand, are a blessing to others. The righteous make a positive contribution to society. Rather than costing society money and time and energy, they infuse society with life. They are builders rather than destroyers. The next group, two kinds of treasure. Verse 4 and 28. This is really a subset of the blessings of righteousness. But verse 4, it says, "Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death." Verse 28. "Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf." When we stand before God and we answer for the life that we have lived, our material wealth in this world will be absolutely worthless. That's what it's telling us. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 4:17, says, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life." This next group, generosity, comes right out of this last proverb set that we read in 1 Timothy 4. And it's verses 24, 25, and 26. It says, "One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give, and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it." It's talking about generosity. Blessing returns to those who are generous. And this is true in regards to our money and our time both, not just our wealth. Those who are generous and giving, they receive much more than they gave in return. While the tight-fisted, the stingy, the selfish, they grow increasingly needy over time. The classic example of this is Ebenezer Scrooge in A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, right? I mean, he was this wealthy man materially, but he was just this withered little thing, creature that was just, getting worse and more pathetic and disgusting with each passing day. But when he began to give, life entered him. And he was getting back much more than he was giving. Luke 6:38, Jesus said, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." We worship and serve a generous God, and he wants us to be generous just like him. Honesty, verse 1, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." In ancient times, they used a balance scale to measure quantities of things for buying and selling, and because there was no overseeing authority to establish and maintain the universal standards for weights and measures, there was widespread cheating that was done. A dishonest merchant, for example, would have several sets of weights that he would use with his scales. You would come to the merchant and ask for a pound of flour, perhaps, and he would slip in and use lighter weights so that he would actually sell you less than a real pound of flour. Conversely, you come to the merchant to sell him some grain, and he would use heavier weights so that he would actually be getting more grain from you than he was paying for. Dishonesty with scales and balances was so common in the ancient world that Solomon writes a proverb that credits honest scales to the Lord alone. In Proverbs 16:11, he says, "Honest scales and balances belong to the Lord. All the weights in the bag are of his making." Honest scales were so rare, Solomon goes, an honest scale has got to be from the Lord. Well, the application of this proverb reaches beyond scales and balances, though. If we look at verse 20, which is a related proverb, it says here, "Those of crooked heart are an abomination to the Lord, but those of blameless ways are his delight. The Lord is pleased with honesty. He delights to see honesty in us. The Lord wants us to be honest in all of our dealings with others, whether it's conducting business or playing a game of checkers. He wants us to be honest people. Humility and pride, verse 2, says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. Pride is the one sin that we can see the quickest in another person, and it's the one that we are the most blind to in ourselves. It says, with the humble is wisdom. Humility is a necessary ingredient for growing in wisdom. A humble attitude is a teachable attitude. Martin Luther said, God created the world out of nothing, and so long as we are nothing, he can make something out of us. The next one's a painful one, the mouth. Verses 9, 12, and 13. 9, it says, with his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. 12, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Do you remember the bit of wisdom that Thumper shared with Bambi? My mother drove this truth into my head when I was a kid. Remember the first time we saw the movie Bambi? And all the way home. Do you remember what Thumper's mother told Thumper? It's like, yeah. If you can't say something nice, then don't say anything at all. You remember that one? Yeah. You had a mom like mine, apparently. Verse 9, it says, with his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor. Words are very powerful, and they can do great damage. The old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me, isn't true. There's no truth in that saying at all. The pain that words can create in a person's life can actually last a lot longer than the pain created by sticks and stones. Long after the broken bones have healed, words can continue to replay in the mind, destroying a person from the inside out. In my own life, I mean, there are things that people said to me years ago when I was a teenager, which still hurt me to this day when they come to mind. Words, they linger and they eat away at us. Verse 12 highlights the importance of keeping our mouth shut when what we say can belittle, humiliate another person, even if the thing we would say is true. I mean, I may be ugly, but you don't have to tell me I'm ugly. That tears me down. It belittles me rather than building me up. Ephesians 4:29, Paul said, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. See, the person of understanding is not simply concerned with telling the truth, but also with how and when the truth is communicated. Verse 13 addresses gossiping. Do you have some dirt on someone? Keep it to yourself. That's what a trustworthy person does with it. Proverbs 20, verse 19 tells us to not hang out with people who gossip and talk about the dirt on other people. Find some new friends. Proverbs 20, 19 says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. Here's the deal about people who are gossipers, people who go about slandering, revealing secrets. We're as dumb as a post if we think that the gossiping person is not gossiping about us too when we're not around. A person who gossips is not a trustworthy person. A person who cannot be trusted. They are a backstabber. That's what this proverb is telling us. Guidance, verse 14. Where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 15, 22 says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. The wise person is open to the counsel and advice of others. The prideful fool is the person who refuses to listen to counsel from others. See, we may not follow the advice that we receive from others, but the wise person seeks it out and considers it. It says, in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. We still have to make the decision on our own, but we are able to make a much more informed decision when we seek the input from other people. Sometimes we can be so entangled in something that we can't even see what would usually be obvious to us. So getting another set of eyes on the problem can be very helpful. This proverb is saying, seek out the counsel of others. Those who are wise, insightful, can offer us another perspective, can see that thing that we're looking past, help us to consider it in a different way. Next is agreements and promises, verse 15. It says, whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer harm, but he who hates striking hands in pledge is secure. This is the same warning that we were given back in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, and we talked quite a bit about it at that time, so I don't want to repeat all of that. But we should be very careful about putting up security for another person, about making agreements with other people in that way. It says, whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer harm. In other words, make sure you know the person well, you have a lot of confidence in them before you agree to co-sign on a loan, for example, or to go into some kind of other partnership with them. It says, but he who hates striking hands in pledge is secure. In other words, be very cautious about making promises or pledges or agreements, because you will be expected to fulfill those. Deals can go sideways on us sometimes. We need to make sure that we're going into the agreement fully aware of that reality and fully prepared to face that reality if it occurs. Always work out as originally planned. I mean, we try to encourage ourselves, oh, it'll all work out. Sometimes it doesn't work out. So be careful, be cautious, be wise, don't be gullible, don't be led with your emotions, use your head, go into the deal with your eyes wide open. Finally, verse 22 on character. We're ending with the best. We've saved the best for last. Verse 22, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. This proverb creates an interesting picture in our mind. See, in ancient Middle Eastern culture, women would wear ornamental gold rings in their noses. Actually, in many cultures today, women still do that. But in this proverb, a pig, considered one of the dirtiest of animals by the Jews, is wearing a gold nose ring. A gold ring in a pig's snout doesn't make up for the fact that a pig is a pig. A similar expression that we use in our country is, you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. In a similar way, a woman's physical beauty can't make up for a lack of good character. You can't hide what's inside with outward appearance. Physical beauty can't make up for an ugly heart and bad behavior. Now, the same general idea is applicable for men as much as it is for women. A man can't make up for a lack of good character with outward appearance or achievement or blustering. Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:3, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. There's nothing wrong with you wanting to make improvements to your physical appearance, but don't make that your focus. Make your character, your inner beauty, your focus. This is where lasting beauty comes from, and it is of great worth in the Lord's eyes. Proverbs 31:30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. In closing this morning, for all of us, character over appearance. Let's make that our focus this week in our life. Character over appearance. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom of Solomon in these proverbs that we've looked at today. And Lord, I pray that you would write this wisdom upon our hearts and upon our minds, Lord, and it would become a part of who we are. Lord, in particular, I want to pray for us this morning that we would choose character over appearance in our life, that we would seek after the beautiful heart rather than carrying around what appears to be a beautiful exterior. Make us people of substance, Lord, people of good character, people who live righteous lives rather than wicked lives. We thank you, Jesus, that you've made this possible for us. In your name we pray this. Amen.